Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. For I've been blessed beyond measure, and by His strength alone I overcome. Oh, I can stop and count successes like diamonds in my hands. But those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. In Christ alone grace I am redeemed, for only His tender mercies could reach beyond my weakness to my need. Now I seek no greater honor than just to know Him more, and to count my gains as losses to the glory.
Thank you, Shelley. Let's stand for the reading of the scripture. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter number 1. We're going to read it together like we did last week. We do it on Sunday nights. We're starting to do it on Sunday mornings, okay? Jonah chapter number 1. Depends on the Bible. Jonah chapter number 1. And we'll read down from chapter 1. We'll read down verse 1 to 12. I'll read the odd number verses, 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, etc. And then the even number verses we'll read together, and we will pause at every punctuation. Okay? Just for a brief second there. Jonah chapter number 1. Still hear pages here. That's the staff members. Jonah chapter number 1. Let me start in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." And they said every one to his fellow, "Come, Let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Let's pray. Father, bless our few minutes together this morning, and I pray that you would just speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, our theme this year is making a difference. We desire to be a church, a group of individuals that everywhere we go in our life, we may make a difference in the lives of others. And so we're in a series now, and we've been in it for a couple weeks, about difference makers, people in the Bible whose life made a difference. We're going to talk about Jonah. Jonah's not your prototypical difference maker. God had to do some things in his life and had to really reach out to him to get his attention before God could use him to make a difference. The Bible is full of people like that. Their stories are different. Some are harder than others. But each teaches us lessons that can instruct us in what to do and what not to do to be a difference maker. Difference makers are all throughout really history. One of the greats, I love the story of a life of the life of a man named John Newton. John Newton, of course, he wrote one of the great hymns of our faith. And he was a wicked, wicked seaman. Started when he was 11, and he went out to sea with his father and just was a knucklehead and just got himself. He was wicked. He tried to corrupt anybody that he came into contact with. Ended up being a slave trader. And through a process of time, actually became a slave himself for about a year's time. But he eventually was on a ship during a very tough storm, and really they all thought they were going to die. And miraculously, they were able to weather the storm and get through it. But that really got a hold of him, and he came to know the Lord. And God completely transformed and changed his life. He eventually got ill to where he could no longer be in the sea trade and became a preacher. He labored hard after he became a preacher to overturn slavery in England, which he had been involved in as a trade. He is most well known for writing the hymn, probably the greatest hymn of all time, Amazing Grace. He knew all about it because he had lived it. Today we're going to look at another man who made a difference, who it's involving a ship. He was not a worker or a captain. His journey on the ship is a little bit different. He's a passenger, one who is running from God. We know the story of Jonah well. God calls him to go to Nineveh. He decides that because God called him to go to Nineveh, he wanted to go somewhere else. He decides to go to Tarshish. He gets on a ship to go to Tarshish, and as we read, there's a huge storm. Through the process of elimination and talking to the guys and casting lots and him just telling his story, they find out that they're in that storm because of him, and they throw him overboard, and he ends up being swallowed by a great fish. As he is in the belly of the fish, he prays unto God and confesses his sin and gets right, and he's vomited out on land. And he takes off to do what God wants him to do. He goes into the city of Nineveh, and he pronounces the judgment, and the people respond to the message, and they turn to God. In the story, in the verses we read, we see the beginning of the whole story where God tells him to go to Nineveh, and he decides to go to Tarshish. He knew very distinctly what God wanted for him, and yet very deliberately he chose to go another direction, another way. So easy for us to slam Jonah, but fact of the matter is, we need to look at our own lives. How often do we decide when God tells us to do one thing that we want to go do something else? If we're honest about it, there are times in our life when we do that. So often, just because we're not like Jonah, we're not immediately swallowed up by a great fish, we almost get emboldened in what we're doing and continue down that path, and it causes us troubles. But eventually, to be honest with you, if we run from God long enough, we will be swallowed up by a fish, not physically, but in an illustrative way. We'll meet our fish. God gave Jonah one, really, choice for his life at that time. Go to Nineveh. God didn't lay it out ABC, you know, here's your three choices. Go here, here, or here. God said, Nineveh, that's where you're supposed to be. But Jonah chose an alternate place, Tarshish. The issue is this. Our destinies, where we end up in life, are really determined by our choices. If we make the wrong choices, we're going to end up in the wrong places. William Jennings Bryan said, destiny is no matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. Now, God is not coming to us today and said, I want you to go to Nineveh. But God has laid out what he wants for us today. That's our Nineveh. And so this morning, I want us to look briefly at the choice we have in life. We can choose Nineveh, or we can choose Tarshish. Your choices will show your direction. Someone has said even more important than where you are standing is what direction you are facing. So what's your choice this morning? Let's look at the two options. First of all, I want us to look at the Tarshish option. What is the Tarshish option? It's very simple. The Tarshish option is living life your own way. You deciding to do what you want to do. Tarshish was the city of his choosing, not God's. And it caused him a great deal of trouble. Tarshish was a seaport city in Spain. It was the farthest to the west, and Nineveh was to the east. It's like, not only did Jonah say, I'm not going there, I'm going to go as far from there as I possibly can. We get on Jonah, but we do it. What is involved with living life our own way, the Tarshish way? Well, as ignorant as it sounds, it's a trying to avoid God's presence. Trying to avoid God's presence. Look at Jonah chapter 1 again. But Jonah rose up, in verse number 3, Jonah rose up unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. By the way, there's always a Joppa when you're going to Tarshish, the place that kind of helps you get to where you, the kind of the decision place is like, all right, here, we'll get you out of here. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Can I just tell you something? Of all the plans in life, that one's a really bad one. You know what? I'm gonna hide from God. I am going to get away from him. Psalm chapter 119, 139 talks about it in verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? And whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Jonah did. And he didn't know what uttermost until he got there. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Didn't work out very well. You cannot flee from the presence of the Lord. I don't know if this has happened to you, but this happens with several of our children. You know, when they were little, we would play hide and go seek. How many of you know how that works? Okay, let's play hide and go seek. Go hide. One of our children, I won't mention their name because I don't want you to think they're ignorant, but I was playing one time with Allison, and she was a little girl, She's the one that at least she gave me Levi, so she's okay. And she would go lean against the wall, like, all right, you hide, I'll start counting. And she would close her eyes. Like, she's right there. I'm looking right at her. But in her little warped mind, she thought, if I can't see you, you can't see me. Now, I would play along with it. Like, oh, where are you, Allison? I can't see you. She'd like giggle. I'm like, she's right there, you know. And finally, she would get bored with it, and she would open her eyes like, here I am. I'm like, wow. That's good. Now, I like to play hide and seek with my grandkids. I do it a different way. I'm like, all right, you go hide. And I'll be in my room. I'm like, you go hide. I'll count to five. But go hide really far away. And they'll, one, two, three, and they take off. I quit counting, and I don't even go look for them, okay? About 5 minutes later, they come in. Grandpa, oh, you guys hid really well today. But a lot of us in our lives are like one of my daughters, Allison. We think that because we are ignoring God and we're trying to get away from God, that we are out of his presence. Can I just tell you something? We can never flee from the presence of God. We can't do it. Sometimes we just do it purposely. Other times we do it by not seeking to listen to him. I do appreciate Jonah, though. At least Jonah was honest about it. When the guys nailed him on the ship, he told them, yeah, I'm running from God. I'm a Hebrew. How many of us try to Christianize it? You know, I just have a peace about this. Jonah had a peace. He was sleeping in a storm. I understand this. If you're on a ship and the guys that run the ship are afraid, that's the time to be afraid. If everybody's getting afraid and you see the people that work there and it's no big deal, it's like, it's good. But if they get afraid, that's time for you to lose it, okay, because bad things are happening. And these guys are afraid, and what's Jonah doing? He had a peace about his decision. He's at the bottom of the ship sleeping. I don't care if we have a peace about our decision. If it's not what God tells us, peace isn't a determining factor. It's a matter of what is right and wrong. You know, I prayed about it. That's good. You may have asked God about it, but let me ask you this. Did you really listen for the answer? I don't know how many times I'll have people come, and not recently, but they'll come in like, you know, I'm thinking of doing this. And they'll tell you, and they're thinking you're going to counsel. Great idea. And you're like, you know what? I see a scriptural problem with that. And then that look on there, oh, okay, thank you for your advice. You know what that means? I was hoping you would put your stamp of approval on what I wanted to do. Isn't that what we're trying to get God to do sometimes? Hey, Lord, I got this all laid out. And by the way, maybe God will go for it. But so often we're trying to do our own thing and we want a stamp of approval. I prayed about it. Good. Did you get an answer? Did you ask somebody about it that might see something in your plan that maybe you missed? Jonah didn't do that. Thought he could run from God. I want you to notice he also, in Tarshish, showed a very godless pattern. In verse 8 to 10, he has to tell these mariners that he's a Hebrew who fears God, but yet he's running the opposite direction from God. I don't get that. Everything's good as long as we have a bumper sticker on our car. Everything's good as long as we have a Christian T-shirt on, right? I got my shirt on. It says, Jesus saves one way, and then we don't follow that way. Okay? That's not how it works. He distorted God to these men. He set a bad example to them. Whenever in Tarshish, you're not the only one who pays. You know who else pays? Those who see you in Tarshish. Those who see what's going on. There's a distorted view of God. See, Satan will tell you that what you are doing inwardly is okay, when outwardly everybody else notices it's not right. You know, I used to like boxing when I was younger. I don't really like it anymore. Because they always hype you up for these big fights, and these guys get all this money, and one guy shows up totally out of shape. He gets knocked out early, takes his set $50 million, and takes off. Now, this guy, the whole time he's waiting for the fight, he's half-heartedly training. I know how. And they're half-heartedly doing it, and they're thinking in their mind, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to get away with it. No one knows what I'm doing. But as soon as they get out between the rings and the bright lights are on them, everything that they've been doing the last 6 months to prepare for the fight is visible for everybody to see. We may think that we're getting away with it in our life, but what's the message we're sending out to those that come in contact with us? And I want you to notice also, when you go to Tarshish, you pay a great price. It started when he got into the boat, he had to pay the price, and I know that's a picture, but I'll tell you what, he had a lot of time to think about his decision when he was swallowed by that great fish. He paid a price. You say, but it all worked out well, you know. 3 days later, he got threw up on land. You imagine what he looked like? He probably didn't look good. When he went into town to preach, that probably got their attention. I mean, white skin digested. I mean, it wasn't good. You always pay a price for doing your own thing. Now we think that doing God's will isn't best, and we think doing our own will is the best, but when it's all said and done, when it's all been laid out, I hope we don't find out too late that we went the wrong way. I hope we don't find out at the end. It would be a shame to come to the end of our lives and to look back at our lives and say, that was the wrong way. And we look back and we do this destruction, whether it's in our marriage, whether it's in our children, whether it's in our friends, whether it's in people we had influence on. Remember, I just read recently, that's why I mentioned John Newton, I read another story about him that was written in 1831. When he was in his corrupted stage where he was trying to corrupt people, that was his goal. His stated goal was, if you're in my presence for 20 minutes, I want to corrupt you. That was his stated goal. It was his life statement or whatever, life purpose. And there was a young man that had come on the ship years ago when he was just working on ships, and he was a young man, and it was an innocent young kid. He totally corrupted this kid. Later on, after he had got saved and he was serving God, he was a captain of his own ship, and he saw this young man, and he thought, I'm going to bring this young man on board with me. I'm going to try to undo everything that I did in his life. The kid was on board with him for about 9 months to a year, and there was nothing he could do to undo the corruption he had done in this young man's life. We pay for what we do. We think that, well, it's just a boat ride the other direction. No. It's always best to do what God says. So that's the Tarshish way. We pay. We lose opportunities. We waste time in our life. We have a distance in our relationship from God. We're living the life of a spiritual fugitive. Understand this. No one can ever sin successfully. Can't do that. It's like saying, Lord, bless me now. As I speed on my way, I'm in a hurry. I remember when I used to go do both churches. I left Sunday school here, and I was going to do my Sunday school class in Monterey Park, and I was late, and I wasn't paying attention, but the CHP was. I was going 80 miles an hour. I didn't think I was going that fast. I wasn't going to argue with him. And he got pulled over, and I'm like, Lord, I have to get to Sunday school, but I'm going to be late. The Lord said, it's okay. Where are you going? I'm going to tell him where I was going. I was speeding. By the way, the kid was like 30, and he's chewing me out. What do you think you're doing? Just give me a ticket. You know, I know I've been doing bad. I got a ticket. God didn't say, well, you know, you're serving the Lord. You're not going to get a ticket. No, I got a ticket, and it was expensive. Okay? We think we can sin successfully. We think we can do our own thing, and it's all going to work out. God's just going to sweep it under the rug. Doesn't work that way. Well, we have another option, thankfully. It's called the Nineveh option. What's the Nineveh option? Living life God's way. Now, there's a problem with it. How often does God's option always look like the worst one? And by the way, I kind of buy into what Jonah was feeling here. Nineveh was a very wicked city, very strong city. If you look at history, their ruler was not a good guy. He was the kind of guy, if they defeated another city, they cut off everybody's head, and they'd build a little pyramid outside the walls of people's heads just to let people know who they were dealing with. And by the way, he didn't like Jews. There was two really good reasons it felt led to go somewhere else. But in the whole scheme of things, that was the best place for him. Now, on the outside, it didn't look like it. By the way, it never looks like it on the outside. Satan's always there to say, if you follow God's way, that's not the best way. But once you get in it, you realize it is the best way. Let's not go by our feelings. Let's not go with that little voice that's whispering in our ear. How often do we want to do something, and there's some person, maybe they're well-meaning, and it's a friend or something, and they're whispering in your ear, oh, come on, what's that all about? You know, I was reading yesterday, and I think it's Peter, you know, they think it not strange that we run with them. How people see how we live, and it's like, why aren't you doing the things that we are doing? And to them, it seems strange. But it's always the best. Nineveh was not the best place for a missionary, but can I just tell you something? He was going to have a revival meeting there. This thing was going to turn out pretty good. I want you to notice something about Nineveh, living life God's way. I want you to know that really, God's direction is always accessible for us. So Jonah gets God's directions. He doesn't do it. He ends up taking a ride in a fish. He gets thrown up, literally. Now we get to chapter 3, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. God's going to speak to him again. Jonah's like, all right, second chance, and here's what God says. Go to Nineveh. He's like, I thought we already dealt with that. I thought that whole, you know, the Nineveh situation didn't work out. Can I go somewhere else? God's like, no. I didn't change my plan. I didn't change what I want you to do. You tried to change that. Now get to Nineveh now. Now I will give Jonah a little bit. Nineveh was several days' journey. It took him one day to get there. You know what we call that? Motivation. Okay? He was probably on dry land, but he heard fish everywhere he went. It's like, is there another fish chasing me? He got there quick. By the way, he said, I want to know what God wants for my life. It's always there. God's not hiding it from you. I can tell you where most of it's going to be found. Most of it's going to be found right here. See, we're so mystical. I want God to speak to me and tell me exactly. If God could just audibly tell me what I'm supposed to do, here's what you do. Open up the Bible and look at the words. God's speaking audibly. You say, no, I want to hear a voice. Read it out loud. I don't want to hear my voice. Have your wife read it to you. Okay, or your brother, your sister. Whenever I'm looking at the Bible, that's God speaking audibly to me. And God will direct us as we go our way. God wants us to be where he wants us to be. We can find God's path. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You say, well, why isn't he directing my paths? Well, we're not trusting the Lord with all our heart. We are leaning unto our own understanding. We're not acknowledging him in all our ways, and we wonder why he's not directing our path. Fact of the matter is, we don't want to walk on that path. And God does have a path. Psalms tells us, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God says, I will show you where to go. Now, it may just be step by step by step, but if I'm going to get from here to there, I've got to take the steps that are in front of me. Back in the old days, before GPS, we would drive to Washington, which is ridiculously far away. We used to go get those old AAA strip maps. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There's some kind of cool about them. I don't know, just flipping them, you know. And there's like 70 miles per page. And when you're driving in a car with your wife and, you know, anywhere from 3 to 6 to, forbid, 7 children, that's a long trip. I've mentioned it many, many times. If we drive straight through, about halfway through, I'm not a Christian anymore. Okay? It's a good thing you're not in the car with me. You'd never come to church here again. It's like, I don't like anybody. But what used to make the trip doable, it's like, let's finish this page. Let's get to the end of this page. Hey, we made it 70 miles. Flip the next page. We're taking steps, and eventually, after much tribulation, we get to Washington. You know, God has a place for us 5 years from now and 10 years from now. Let's follow the steps that are in front of us right now, and we'll get there. But we're not going to do it if we're going to Tarshish. We have to follow what God says. God wants us to get where he wants us to be. God wants our obedience. That's always acceptable to him. Jonah got up this time. God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, I've always wanted to go there. Okay. He said, I'm on my way. And there he went. He simply obeyed what God told him to do. Jonah didn't just hear the word again. He finally did what he should have done in the first place. He simply followed what God told him to do. You know, you understand, directions are no good if they're not followed. Safeguards are no good. I read many years ago that, remember in the, I think it's the 70s, the Chernobyl nuclear meltdown in Russia? It happened because on a late shift, some of the guys got a little bit bored and started messing around with some things, and they violated like 5 or 6 protocols. safety protocols, and once they blew through there, things started happening that were not good. That's how we are, isn't it? We know what's right. We know what we're supposed to do, and we just blow through them mindlessly, and it doesn't work. God wants us to obey. Why does God want us to do that? Well, let's get to really what the part, our theme for the year. We're not going to make a difference in Nineveh if we're headed to Tarshish. You know what happened when he got there? Now, I'm going to say this. Jonah had a really, he was not the kind of evangelist you want to invite over for dinner. He didn't have the best attitude about the whole situation. But at least he did what God said. He goes into town, no revival meeting. You know, they didn't have any gospel tracts. He steps up and says, 40 days, God's going to destroy Nineveh. Thank you for being here. No offering, no singing. You can be on your way. And guess what happened? The king heard about it. And the king put on ashes, sackcloth, started mourning for their sin, and the whole city did. And God looked at him and said, I'm not going to destroy him. See how they turned? Now, that didn't make Jonah happy. He had his issues. But if Jonah wouldn't have done that, think of all those people that would have continued as they were, that God would have had to probably destroy the city. God wants us to be to where he wants us to be because of the influence we can have in our life, because of others that we could influence. But what happens? We so often choose to do our own thing. It's like Satan got Eve. You know, God said, look, every tree, there's every tree. You can't go wrong. Every single tree you can eat from, just one. That's it, just one. And isn't it human nature? As soon as you say just one, all of a sudden it's like, why not? I want to check that out. It's like I tell my wife, like, look, if you tell me to do something, I'm not going to do it. Even if I felt like doing it, I'll joke with her. Hey, can you take the trash out? No, you told me to do it. I'm not doing it. So she knows what to say. Whatever you do, don't you dare take that trash out. Don't you tell me what to do. I'm taking that trash out right now, whether you like it or not. That's just our human flesh, right? We don't like to be told what to do. And Eve had all the trees, and Satan was able to say, yeah, but that one right there, you're being held out on. What did Jesus say? Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know what happens? Far, 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 far too many Christians want to dwell in Tarshish. Now, if you ask them, they will tell you they're not in Tarshish. But the fact of the matter is, if you watch their lives, their lives are not lived by finding out what God's way is, but them just kind of figuring out and doing what the way that they want to. I heard this story, and we'll end with this. In 2004, I believe the Olympics were hosted in Athens. There was an American rifle shooter. His name was Matt Emmons. He, going into the last shot, he had the gold medal wrapped up. All he had to do on his last shot was hit anywhere on the target. As long as he didn't, not the bullseye, all he had to do was hit anywhere on the target. And he won. He was that far ahead. So he came in. By the way, think about it. How would you feel? Because, you know, you don't just show up to the Olympics like, you know, yeah, I went duck hunting last week. I'm ready. They trained for years. This is their life. It's only once every 4 years. And this man trained, and all the training and everything he did, it's paying off today. All I got to do is hit the target on the last one. Can you imagine the excitement? He's ready to roll. Gold medal's his. He's already got a place in his house where he's going to display it. And maybe he'll get an article and Rifle Shooters Are Illustrated. I don't know. So he gets in his lane too. He gets down. He aims his gun. He didn't just hit the target. It was a great shot. Score for where he hit the target would have been 8.1. Way, 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 way more than enough to win. The only problem was, as he sat there in lane two, he hit the target in lane three. He focused in on the wrong target. It was a great shot, though. perfect shot. He hit the wrong target. And guess what happened? As they had the award ceremony, it wasn't him standing up on the gold medal platform listening to the Star Spangled Banner. He was in the stands. He finished eighth. Because no matter how good a shot you are, if you hit the wrong target, you get a zero. Yeah. Doesn't that describe most Christians? I nailed the target. Whose target? Yours or God's? Charles Keene, he runs a Bible publishing ministry called Bearing Precious Seed. They make Bibles and they print Bibles, put them together, and send them all over the world. He said this: "I'm not afraid of being a failure. I'm afraid of being a success in something that God is not interested in." You know what he's saying? I don't care if I'm a success defined by what the world says. Am I a success defined by what God says? Where's your target this morning? Nineveh or Tarshish? And by the way, a lot of us, we may mostly go to Nineveh, but how often do we just stray to Tarshish for a little bit? We live in Nineveh, but we vacation in Tarshish. That still is not going to work. God's way or your way? Let's stand this morning.